useful. Trust me. My name's Rob Miles, and I haven't lied to you yet. But that could change. Stick around. I've got a whole bunch of demos. I also have a piece of paper with a whole bunch of emergency jokes when the demos don't work. We'll see how far down the jokes we actually have to get. As a measure of quality of the jokes, if you want to just sort of calibrate a bit, there's these two lions walking down Bourbon Street in New Orleans, and one lion says to the other lion, "It's a bit quiet around here, isn't it?" Right, fine, okay. Moving on. The doors have been locked. There is no escape. And so we'll just keep on going now, and I'll tell you all the wonders of agents and Windows Phone. But before that, a little slide about the actual business of writing Windows Phone's applications. There are three or four things I'm completely convinced about with regard to Windows Phone and writing apps. The first one is that if you're writing any kind of application, you should write a mobile version for your Windows Phones as well. There are a number of reasons for this. The primary reason being it's actually very easy and it's terribly, terribly useful for a whole bunch of reasons. There's an expectation among people now they want to take everything with them and into work everywhere and store their stuff in the cloud. And that means the phone, the Surface, the PC, everything's going to be tied together, shoving stuff up into the cloud and bringing it down and working with it. So the first thing I'm convinced about is that you really should be writing mobile apps to run alongside your line of business stuff. You've got to be doing that. The second thing I think is really important is you should put voice response in, because users will be expecting to be able to talk to their things by voice command. That's kind of useful because I'm doing a session tomorrow, non-subtle plug, on how to put voice into your stuff. So, and the third thing I think is really important as well is, surprise, surprise, that you should make use of background agents. You should have things happening. The system should be working for the user even when they aren't actually using it. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about here. And what I want to do today, really, is have you all going away thinking, ooh, I could put a background agent into my application, into my system, into my solution, into my game, into my mobile app, which will add value and do things that the other guy's product does not. So as far as I'm concerned, the bottom line here really is, I want to get you folks into a position where you have enough stuff lying around and ideas for things to make to start thinking about using background processing in Windows Phone. That's kind of why I'm here. But the other things about Windows Phone as a good choice, if you're looking for a stepping stone to pure Windows 8 development, it's brilliant for that. The tool chain and lots of the UI are very, very, very similar. So there's all kinds of wonderful reasons to do this, and you've got things like the Common Core and security architecture underneath tying it all together as well. So think about that. It's a great place to work. My name's Rob Miles. 3ws.robmiles.com, shameless blog plug. Anyone here been to my website? One person, okay. You just wanted a Rolls Royce. No, you didn't. No. Only a very small one if you did. You should go there. Everything I show you today, all the code is going up on robmiles.com after this session, and so you can pull down the code and make a fortune with it. Even the world-beating application I'll be demoing about two-thirds of the way through, which will change your lives. In the after you've seen it, you've seen it. Okay, right, fine. I work at the University of Hull in the United Kingdom. I've flown all the way here, and my arms are really tired. No? Okay. Right, fine. Well, it's 5:15. This is the graveyard slot, people. Work with me here. I've flown away from Hull. I'm Microsoft MVP. I've been working with Phone since before we had one, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful platform. And I want to make you actually understand how background tasks work, how we do multitasking with the agents, how we make tasks, and give you some examples of the kind of tasks you can make and the ways in which you can use them. And I'm absolutely convinced that whatever app you've got could be made better by some background processing. Absolutely. And so we'll look at different ways in which you can use it and how it sits on top of the phone and lets you do that. So this is kind of where we're going. Lots of demos on my Surface. lots of stuff. At the end, we give a phone away as well, and maybe even sing a song. Who knows? Maybe not the song. So, background agents first. Let's get our heads around exactly what happens on the phone when the background agent runs. You've got this idea. Windows Phone has this philosophy, which is put the user first. The user should basically be king and never have a bad experience. And that means that when an application is running in the foreground on the phone, that's it. It has the phone. There's no situation where you're going to get laggy performance, you're going to get things stopping and starting. My son has an iPhone, which he's still in the will. I'm not that bad. But he has an iPhone, and we went for a drive in his car. He has an iPhone and a car. He's very well brought up and probably richer than me. And we go for a drive, and he's playing his music through the Bluetooth in the car. And halfway through the track, the music goes pep, 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 and stutters. And I say, what's with that? Oh, he's just fetching some email. Oh, great. Unimpressedville. That was population me at that point. The Windows Phone should not allow that to happen. There's no situation where you're going to get interrupted by stuff going in. The user sits at the application, and it runs in the foreground, and that's it. Okay? Other apps might be waiting in the wings to come in, but they've got none of the CPU, just lumps of memory. And the reason you do this is you want good battery life, and you want good performance. You want the thing to be responsive, fluid, and of all the phones I've seen, Windows Phone has got the most fluid interface, even on the smaller spec processors. It's really, really nice. And so we do that, but what the impact has is that means that we have to do our background agents in a way that pays service to this. We can't just run a program. If you're thinking in terms of a background application on Windows Phone as being your application running in the background, that's wrong. You have to lose that one really quick. Because what happens is you make a background agent that acts on behalf of your application. It's a totally separate Visual Studio project. It's linked to the main app, and it can share data through the background storage in the Windows Phone, but basically it's a totally separate piece of code. It's really easy to write, and I'll show you two or three different flavors of this as we go through, but in terms of actually consuming processor resource on the phone, there are two flavors. There's periodic task, and there's resource-intensive task. These are the two flavors of background agents you can work. Now, the issue here is you might be thinking, oh, this is going to constrain me a bit. Well, yes, maybe it will a tad, but there's lots of useful stuff you can do notwithstanding this. And as far as the user's concerned, you're never in a situation where they get a lousy experience because somebody's badly behaved background agent has taken all the CPU or grabbed all the memory. That never happens. So you make your agent, and it's not equivalent to your foreground app running in the background. It's a special piece of code. It's a special agent, if you like. And it runs in the background and does things to add value to your application. Quick health warning. The operating system manages when background agents get to go. If you've got a Windows Phone and go into the advanced settings for these things, you can actually disable and re-enable the background agent on an application-by-application basis. Okay, this is something which the system will do for you and manage for you. And users can actually decide whether or not to allow background agents to work. If the phone goes into power save, your background agent might get killed completely. Okay, so what I'm saying is here is that background agents are for icing. They are not for cake. All right, your application is the cake. The background agent is the piece of icing on the back. It's the bit that preloads database entries they might need to use later on. It's the bit that compresses their storage to make it more responsive and leave space on the phone. It's the bit that adds value. It's not the bit that does the main work. You couldn't make an application which needs a background agent to function, because if you did that and the user turned it off, your background agent would be dead in the water. Does that make sense? I haven't had a joke for a while. Here we go. So here we go. Yeah. There's these two fish in a tank. And one says, how do you drive this? Okay, right, fine. Yes, okay, you're all waiting for the next joke now, aren't you? You're forgetting about agents. This, I must have the next joke. I'll be using it in the bar tonight. Yes, yes, yes. So, back to the plot. Agents are icing, not cake. But they are fantastic icing, okay? Really useful. But keep that in mind. There's effectively the task is the actual scheduling type that you fire up. And there are two flavors of these, as you saw in the previous slide, periodic and resource intensive. And the name's the clue here. Periodic ones get to run every now and then. Resource intensive ones get to run every now and then when the phone can do some proper work. And the agent code sits inside the task and actually does the work. Okay? And you implement it in a class that derives from this task called background agent, and you create it as part of an agent project, and I'll show you that in a second. It's very easy to do. And you debug it in Studio as you would any other piece of code you write for the phone. It's as simple as that. So we'll come to that in a second or two, but this is just a bit of name things. Here we go. This is how a periodic task works. Every 30 minutes or so, depending on loading, your task gets to run. It gets about 25 seconds or so of mill, and it can use around 11 megabytes of memory. If it does something stupid and blows up two times in a row, the system will automatically kick it out of memory and not run it again. So what that means is that if your program follows a null reference and blows away, or if it doesn't handle a timeout exception for one of your network transactions and what have you, the second time it does that, it'll be unscheduled and it won't get to run again. The phone limits the number of active agents at any given time, and an agent is active for two weeks or so after the first run of the app or the first live tile activation. So if a user stops using your background agent, then after 2 weeks or so, it will get moved away. If a program never gets run, there's no point in having the background agent for it. Now, what you can do with your agents is you can entice people to do stuff with your app. If they have a live tile on the front and you want to have the picture of the tile to update, hey, those shoes you ordered are now in stock, banner message, you can do that. So what you can do is you can deep link through into your application from a tile, and you can update that tile using a background agent to do that for you. So these things are great for location tracking, polling background services, tile updates, stop tickers, weather tickers, all that kind of stuff. They're great for that, and they run every now and then, as it says on the tin. One thing to bear in mind, I've given you a time period around every half an hour or so. It might be longer than that. It depends on the loading. But the idea of these things is you can use them to grab a little bit of mill every now and then to do something to keep your tiles up to date, new films being shown, whatever, whatever. So anything you want to push under your user's nose when they aren't running your app, that's what you use these things for. Go online, pull the new stock information down, put in all your bargains, your special offers, your good stuff, that kind of thing. That's what these things are for. Resource-intensive tasks. Right, what you do with these is that you, at the end of the day, the user comes home, puts their phone on the nightstand, and leaves it there. It's charging overnight, it's in your house, it has a nice fast Wi-Fi connection it's connected to, and so that means we can get some serious work done. So the resource-intensive agent will actually fire up when it's in, the phone's powered up on the mains, it's got more than 90% of charge in the battery, it's got Wi-Fi, and now you can do some proper computing. You can run for up to 10 minutes and get a fair amount of work. You can compress databases, you can download new podcasts, you can update the images for your application, you can do all kinds of fun bits and pieces like that. The user's not using it, it's doing nothing, so you get that time. Okay? If you want to, you can make one of each background agent, or you can make a single agent which is fired up in either of those two modes, and it can figure out which, as we'll see in a minute. So, yeah, you can actually do this on the fly, and so off you go. And so now you've got this idea that every now and then your program gets to run and do some serious work, resource intensive, or update a tile and do a few bits and bobs, and that's your periodic. That make sense? Everyone happy? We should sing a song. No, we shouldn't. That wouldn't be good. There are a few things you can't do as a background agent. There's a few things added for the user must have a good experience. You can do things like tiles, toasts, location, network, ISO store, sockets, and most of the framework APIs. You can't drive the display. You can't take clandestine photographs or record things. You can't use accelerometer, all these things. You can't play audio. Except that there is a background audio player, of which more in a minute or two. So it's all common sense. If it's stuff that would interrupt the user or have a security issue, you can't do it. Okay, so you can't secretly record things using a background agent, which is fine. I quite like that idea. That's good. So these are things you're allowed to do, and off you go. I've got a little program called Location Log, which effectively logs your location. So I thought the name was a really good one. That was a joke. No one noticed. Moving on. It is late. I'll give you that. So the idea here is that we've got a little application which will just track where you go. And the agent updates the position log even when the program isn't running. So it's a standard job for a periodic task. And effectively what you do to make this is you go into the Add New Project dialog in Studio, and you scroll down towards the bottom, and you find Windows Phone Scheduled Task Agent lurking down here. So you bung one of these in your solution, and you get a template class that does nothing. And the next thing you have to do, which is mildly important, you then have to effectively link the output of the logger, the actual task, to the main program. So when the solution's built, the assembly files are combined and pushed into the phone. You do that once. It's effectively the same kind of thing you would do in any kind of multi-project solution where you effectively have to tie them together. Once you've done that, you're in business and your agent is good to go. In fact, this is effectively how you do it. I've told exactly, aren't I nice? It's almost as if I know what's coming. Boom. No. So tie it all together. Off you go. Work's a treat. What could possibly go wrong? Well, this is the code that runs when the application background agent gets to go. There's a method called onInvoke. You get to run in here. Notify complete is how you say to the system, I have done everything I want to do this time around. Please close me down tidily. The scheduled task parameter, this thing here, is how your app knows it's being run as a periodic or a resource-intensive one. So basically, it can behave appropriately. So you put, basically, the line is, you put the code in here that does the work that you want to have done on your background task, and that's it. And you start, you build it, you deploy it, it runs, you put breakpoints in here. When the background task fires, it hits those breakpoints. As we'll see in a minute or two, you don't have to wait half an hour for it to fire. That'll be kind of boring. There's a way in which you can say, fire a log event every minute. In debug mode, you can say, effectively, fire every minute so I can actually debug my code properly. So off you go for that. And it all just works. You can also use ISO storage. If you look at the demo, which I'm putting up on my blog, robmiles.com, have I mentioned that? Yeah, fair enough. Then you can talk to ISO store, and I've put some little methods in here that do the hard work for you. ISO store is a lump of data storage that a program on the phone can use. There's two flavors. There's a dictionary storage for storing names and settings, tuples, basically. And there's a big file store where you can lob stuff. And you can create folders and directories and all kinds of stuff and basically lob things in there. It's called ISO because only your program can see it. Okay? It's no other application can actually fiddle with that. And so if you want to have a background agent which fetches some data down and slaps it into ISO storage, your foreground app can then pull that data up and do with it whatever it likes. And so I've actually got a little piece of code here. My method, load from ISO store, I'll show you in a minute or two, goes off and gets the data. The first time it runs, it'll have to actually make the thing, so it returns false, and I just initialize. I've got a little string there called message, which is going to come up on my pop-up toast notification in a minute or so. One of the things I've done in my ISO loading program is I'm using a mutex because it is theoretically possible that my foreground and my background task will be running at the same time, and I don't want to be fighting over ISO store and getting exceptions thrown that will cause my agents to tip over because I'll get them terminated and the user will not get a real experience, blah, blah, blah. So that's the code that does that. That sorts that out. And then the other thing which you have to do if you're doing location tracking is you have to go into the manifest and turn on the capability which says use the location property of the phone for this app. Every single Windows Phone app has got a lump of data with it which tells the system the kind of things it's going to do. Is it going to use the microphone, the camera, blah, blah, blah? And this one has to use the location capture. So we turn that on, and at that point, we're in business. When the application's invoked, I say, get me a thing that watches the geo-coordinates, start it running, and then go and get the position string, which is basically the location property, turn it into a string, and bang a new line on the end, and that's my effectively my location information as a bunch of coordinates. Is that okay? Everyone happy with that? That makes sense? No, I'll tell you a joke later. I'm like that. So, we've got our code running. It's all working fine. And then I just build my log string by putting a new thing on the end of it, whack it back in the ISO store, and then the foreground program can pick that up and display it in front of the user. As a little bit of last niceness, I make a toast, set the title location log, add a message to it, and show it, and this causes the phone to pop a little message up. And if the user hits that message when they see it, then that will then cause the location tracker application to start running. So if you want to attract the attention of the user from your background task, that pops up, they hit it, and then they can go straight through into your application using a deep link, and off you go. The issue with pop-ups is that if they don't see that, if it's in their handbag at the time that comes up, they won't see the notification. So if you want to make a more persistent way of getting their attention, use a tile. But the building a tile is very, very similar to this. Again, you just modify the tile properties, and up it will come on the start menu if they've pinned it there. And so there you go. You don't get the toasts if the foreground app is active. So you only see those actually if your agent is running in the background at that time. The final bit I'll mention, this is how, if you actually want to force the thing in debug mode to actually keep on going, then this is the bit at the bottom down here. I say if I'm in debug, then I do a launch for test every 60 seconds. So I can debug my background agent and have it fire once a minute while I'm testing the code. Then when I ship it, this conditional compilation will knock that line out, and away we go. These things, a bit of housekeeping, I can actually find out if I'm allowed to use them. Inside the main foreground application we're talking about now, so effectively I'll launch this thing off, and then I can make it fire every minute. And having said all this, that's the bit about the thing. too many slides, Rob. It's all good. Basically, you can find this, download it, and it'll talk you through the whole process. But there'll be no jokes in the deck, so I'm not allowed to do that. Really sad. Never mind. No intentional jokes. Probably more honest. So let's show you this. And if I wake up my Surface, wake up, and I go into 8, I'll be doing everything on the emulator. Because I haven't got a Visio, but you can come and see it running on the phone later on if you want. So this is basically my little program, which I will start running inside my emulation, and off it goes. At the moment, it's not running, so I turn on tracking. And so what's happening now is my background task is actually active and running, and it's logging, but I won't see anything until I stop the program. That thing I was talking about before to do with the actual managing my applications. If I go into settings and I go into applications and I go into background tasks, you can see location logger, my little program, is chugging away in the background. The user has allowed it. If I hit advanced, then the user can basically hammer this thing and turn it off. So, like I said, this is icing, because there's no way as an app you can stop the user of the application from actually doing that thing and killing your agent off. I'm not quite sure why they want to do that, but if they do, it means that a big chunk of your application's behavior might not be there anymore, and at that point, we're not talking happy endings. So any minute now, he said, with just a hint of nervousness, we should start seeing our application popping up the message on the top. In a perfect world, are we running? We are running, that's good. It's amazing how long a minute is when you're waiting for something to happen. Okay. Right, nerves of steel. There it goes. There you go. Just to die. But you could, I mean, that's not worth a round of applause, obviously. Okay. Thank you. You are so nice. One of the things which I can do, which is kind of sweet, that's the wrong project, by the way, which is going to really hurt my head. I'm looking at location logger, which seems to have gone like that. If you look on here, then you can see my two projects. This is inside scheduled agent. This is the on invoke. I can put a breakpoint in there, and when the agent fires next time, that breakpoint will be hit. So from a debugging perspective, this is really rather nice, because you can debug it exactly as you would any other program. And so when the agent fires in a few seconds again, it should hit that breakpoint, and you can debug it, you can single step it, you can do all the good stuff. There is this kind of weirdness about Visual Studio when you're using agents and things. Hey, oh, it's hit it now. So the agent is fired, so I can step through here. It'll basically, ba-doink. Yeah, we've loaded up messages. We're going to get our timestamp. We're going to actually find our watcher, start it running, get the string. And one of the things that, this is an issue with the emulation it's worth knowing about. Under emulation, you don't get geocoordinates past your background agents. Okay? The way it works in the real phone is that it doesn't check your position when a background agent asks for it, because using the GPS is kind of hard work and slow and battery intensive. So it checks it every minute or so and caches that value. So the background agent will get that location from the cache, but that caching process is not enabled in the emulator. So what you'll see is you won't see a usable location at that point, which is unfortunate because the emulation's support for location in any other situation is great. You can touch the map and go where you like, but in the actual emulated background thing doesn't do that. So we step over there, we go like that, we save our thing, we make our toast, we put the message on there, we show it, and up it comes. There it is. And then we keep on going. So debugging these things is great. The weirdness for me is that at the moment, if you look at the phone, my app's not actually on the foreground. But if you look in Visual Studio, it's still being debugged, which is kind of surreal. And what will happen now, even if I stop this thing, the emulation will keep on going bing-bong every minute to drive us all nuts, which is fair enough. So that's effectively a background agent doing location logging. And if we go back to application now, which we can even start from within the... you can see there's some log entries that have been written already, and I can clear and refresh and do what not. And it all just works. There's another breakpoint there. I'll stop the whole thing so we don't get any more bing-bongs, and I'll go back to number one. So that's how you do it. It's as easy as that. And if you take my code, you can effectively, inside there, you could put a call to a web service to bring something down and update data sets or whatever you like and put things on tiles and pop-ups and whatever. So what you've just seen is we fired off a background task. It then began running. We then fetched some information and then popped it up on the screen. And it's nice that you can debug it. You can press the back button or the start button in emulation, and it will still be going on. And exactly the same techniques work on resource-intensive. We started that one off as a periodic, but resource-intensive works in just the same way, and it'll fire up in just the same way as well. So, tips. Renew these things often. Your application has to do that restart process at least every 2 weeks or so. So, effectively, you can find out if the background agents are there, and you can restart them. I can't emphasize enough, don't put critical behavior in the background agent because you might not be there. And if you really want to do reliable stuff in the background, you have to move off the phone and do it as a push notification and run it on a server somewhere else, because it's not guaranteed. It's beautiful icing, but it's icing, and that's the important thing to take away. So one transfer task down, another to go, 47 minutes left. Oh, fantastic, this is going really well. I think you deserve another joke. Maybe not that one. There's these two parrots on a perch, and one says, "Can you smell fish?" They do get worse. The doors have been locked. There is no escape. Right. One of the things you might want to do in a background task is fetch some files. Okay? Now, you can do this. You can fire off the file transfer task from a foreground app or from an agent. Okay? So you can effectively go, oh, there's a new podcast. I don't do podcasts, but if I did, new podcast from Rob. Must get that. Okay? So you fire off a background task just to do a file transfer. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about now. We can fetch things from HTTP or HTTPS hosts. At the moment, bad news in small print, no FTP support just yet. Sorry about that. But everything else just happens as though by magic, because the system maintains a queue of active transfers and brings each one down in turn. So you can load it up with a bunch of files to transfer, and it will actually go off and get those. It's the same tech that does the application updating story. So if you have updates for your apps and it has a bunch of files to bring down, And it's that technology which you're having exposed to you for use in your applications. And so you just go off and get these things, and then the background transfer will happen, whether your app's in the foreground or the background, and the foreground apps can actually inquire as to how many active transfers you've got and find out how far through you are as well. So you can do progress bars if the user's watching, or they'll happen in the background if the user isn't. There are one or two policies. By default, you can't upload more than 5 meg over cellular. You can't do more than 20 meg on Wi-Fi on battery power. Over cellular, you can't download more than 20. And over Wi-Fi, you can't download more than 100. Now, if you want to change those numbers, there's a transfer preferences setting which you can adjust inside your app. So if you do want to actually transfer large amounts of data, that's fine. Bring them down as separate files if you have a lot of them to do. Fire off a bunch of separate transfers. That might be a more sensible way to organize it anyway. These files are going to get dropped into your ISO store, so your foreground app can pick them up, as can your background agent. Okay, so it's actually very easy to get hold of these things and bring them down. And it all just works. In terms of how you do it, well, this is the code. We can find out the connectivity status. You can do this at any time. So whether you're doing this for background transfer, whatever you like, you basically get one of these things, and you can look at, is it roaming? Are we over our data limit? Are we approaching our data limit? Then this might be a bad thing. One of the great ways to get your users to hate you, if you wanted to do this, is basically fire off a great big expensive download when they've used up all their data. So it costs them a fortune. Okay? That's always good for a giggle, or it might fail, or whatever. So you can effectively say to the user, you sure you want to do this? Before you fire it off. So these are the things you can use. And if you want to sort of look at the one that lets you go anywhere, if cost type equals unrestricted, then basically go nuts. That means effectively, hey, we're on Wi-Fi. So you can do sensible things to make sure that your user doesn't get enormous phone bills that are your fault. Okay? And you can bind to events that this thing produces, that if you want to detect when the user walks home and gets into their Wi-Fi area, you can bind to that event, so you can think, okay, right, fine, now we've got Wi-Fi, now I can go. So that's all that out there. Nice to use, easy to use. The namespace you want to use, background transfers, is that one. You don't need any extra projects. This is kind of different from the resource-intensive and periodic ones in that basically it just works, okay? So we make ourselves a URI. We then build ourselves a transfer request. We tell it what kind of method to use, and effectively then set some preferences and fire it off. We tell it where to put it. By default, stuff gets placed in the shared transfers folder. I think that's actually a requirement. So effectively, when your program wakes up, it can go and look in there and see what's arrived. And once you've done that, then you can add the request, and off it goes. And so this is basically the bit that fires it off. This is a bit of sensible housekeeping to try and keep the user informed as to why it couldn't send it. The most common reason why it won't let you send it is you already have a request active with the same parameters. You have to kill these things off when you've finished it. So effectively, once you've got your download complete, you then kill the transaction off and then get another one started. Later on. So there you go, and that's all how it works. If you want to, you can bind to progress changed events, and you can update scroll bars or whatever you like. Bear in mind, these only fire if your application's running in the foreground. Once it goes away, transfer continues, but these events, of course, there's no one there to hear them, so they don't happen. And so off you go, and you can go and get your data. And all I do on my little program, which I'll show in a second or two, is basically we just update the text message to say, I've got so many bytes come down. But if you wanted to, you can use a progress bar here. I just didn't do that because numbers work for me. And then here, when I've got my completed, a couple of magic numbers, 202.06. Took me ages to find those. I tried one, I tried two, I tried, no, okay. No, I didn't. I actually used the interwebs and looked them up. Which is a clever form of cheating. Once I've done that, if we've got those completion codes, the file arrives, it's all there, it's good. And then away you go from there. You could also get the transactions and check them as well. Once you've got one, it's complete. Tidy things up, remove the request, and then you can start adding new ones. If you try and remove the thing and it fails, you'll get an exception thrown, which is best to catch. Otherwise, your application might terminate when you weren't expecting it to. And so now, let's go fetch a picture. What could possibly go wrong? Let's find out. So go to that. I can put this particular application to sleep now because it has served its purpose. I have no further use for it. Got a picture fetch. This is the code I've shown you. Again, feel free to just steal it. All the interesting stuff happens on the start fetch button, which, here we go. It basically gets the file name from my text box. It then makes the URI from it, makes the request, says we're going to do a get, and then builds a file name to put it in the local host, and then makes my transfer request and sends it off. So it's the code you have seen, but all in front of you. So now if I start this running, then in we go, up we come. So now if I hit this, then it's just updating as it fetches things down from the Wi-Fi. And there's my patch, actually rather fast, I'm pleased with that. That's my picture taken from the Eiffel Tower, of all places. And that's just a file name on my blog, which is www.robmiles.com. By the way, have I mentioned that? You're all thinking, just come on and give the phone away, would you? No, you're not. I'm sure you're not, really. You're all here to learn. And I'm here to teach, so that's great. So that's basically the code. So if you're going to fetch anything, just take this code and steal it, and it will just work for you. And if you want to fetch an MP3 file, then just fetch an MP3 file and then play it in the background, of which more in a minute or two. So we'll stop that. There we go. And back to the deck. That one there. And so we've fetched pictures. We've done background tasks. It's all going swimmingly well. You can find out how many transfers you have active. If you restart the app, the user starts the downloads off and then goes off and does something else and comes back to your program, then you may want to fire an unnavigated to event, which will sort of update your display, and it can then perform whatever transfer management you want to. There's a rather nice example on MSDN. Please don't write that link down. Just find it in the deck later on. But it takes you through the whole process rather nicely. It depends on how friendly you want to be. If this has been fired off by a background agent, then maybe you can handle it all invisibly. And do things with tiles and stuff when it arrives, because you could fire it off on a periodic task and then keep on checking every half an hour or so, has it come? Yes, it has. New podcast from Rob. Ping. And they can just hit the tile and just listen to it. So you've got all kinds of fun games you could play with this to fetch stuff in the background, and it all just works rather well. This is the code to actually fetch the transfer requests, and what this code does is effectively it just grabs them and builds a list of them, which you could then put into a control on the display, whatever you want to do with it, and work your way through. One of the things which it's best to do, if you have old ones, get rid of them, and that code does all that for you. So just that's all you need. And so we can go on to the next part of the thing, which is, and again, more good code, more good stuff. You can set off background alarm reminders for the user from your application. The user gets the alarm in the future, they can respond to it or not as they like. We can deep link the reminders to an application page, and we can fire notifications repeatedly at different intervals or once, and then maintained by the OS. So if you fire off your notification up, then what that means is that your application can be killed off or whatever, doesn't matter. It's going to be, this alarm will be fired by the phone itself. Okay, so it all just works. Once it's been fired off, we don't have anything else. It just looks after itself. And so this is there is a problem that I've decided to address, a definite need amongst computer users, which is that quite often people forget to have some cheese for long periods of time. Okay. Maybe even a day or a week can go by and you've had no cheese. And this is bad. So what we have here is a cheese reminder program, which will remind you to eat some cheese at a later time. Okay? So you can set this program running, and it will then, at some later time, actually remind you you haven't had any cheese for a while. Okay? And now, the interesting thing about this one is, and I'll be covering the voice side of this tomorrow in the voice response lecture. This is a bit like when CSI Miami go over to CSI New York and do like a joint episode. You ever seen that kind of thing? Yeah, right. CSI? Okay, right, fine. So this is what this is. And so the idea is that you can say to your phone, cheese reminder, 10 minutes, and the phone will set a reminder to go off in 10 minutes to eat some cheese. Okay? That's probably, although I do say it myself, a fairly trivial application. But it does show you the power of this stuff. And if you wanted to have a voice reminder thing to do your car parking timer or anything, then this will just do it. And I'll put the code up. I think it's already up there. It'll be up there later on today. If you want to do voice response and then fire off background tasks or whatever you like, then this will do this for you. Important bullet point, we have these things here for insurance reasons. Don't use this if you're lactose intolerant. It could kill you, okay? So don't eat cheese if you're not supposed to. But if you do want some, then this will tell you how and when to do it. In terms of actually getting the code built and making it happen, then effectively we make a new reminder called Cheese Reminder. We set the beginning time to effectively run the number of minutes is how far ahead in the future I want this thing to actually fire. I then set the expiration time to the same thing. You can have alarms that repeat into the future many, many times, weekly or daily or whatever, and have a time when they stop. We're going to have a recurrence interval of none. It's basically going to fire once and then never again. And I'm giving it a URI, which is the page to go to if the user touches the reminder. So you can have your app go off in however long. Now, you could use this for kind of sneaky things. Hey, you haven't played my game for a while. Fancy another go? Now, if your user, if you think your users will stand that, then go for it. Why not? So the thing could go off in a day, 2 days' time or so and say, not heard from you. Click here and have another go, whatever. Prize money gone up or whatever you like. So you can do that kind of thing. But what you do here is basically you give it the URI of the page to hit. And then when they touch on the reminder, if they do that, because they could ignore it, then that's the page they go to. And you add this to the service, to your reminder object which you've created, set up. You bang it on the end of the action service, and then off it goes. If you want to see if the reminder is outstanding, you can effectively give it the name, search the action service for a reminder with that name. If it comes back as null, sorry, not equal to null, then you can basically tidy it away. So if you want to actually get rid of one, and again, as in the file transfer, good housekeeping is a good thing to do here, because what you have to do is the reminders are not cleared away automatically. Even if they're expired, they're still in the memory of the machine somewhere, so you have to go in there and actually tidy them up. So that would get rid of the cheese reminder, although why you do that is a mystery to me. So now we get to the scary one, because what I have to do now is I have to speak to my computer, and there's no way this could possibly go wrong at all. It's bound to be wonderful. So if we go into here, this is the cheese reminder app. So if I fire this up, and one of the great things about voice response on the phone is that it works in the emulator too. That's the program. That's running. We have no reminders set. So what I can do is I can back out of the app, hold down the button to do speech. It'll say accept. And cheese reminder, 1 minute.
Setting a reminder.
Yes, you see. Now that is worth a round of applause. Thank you. It set the alarm. I've hit a breakpoint I put there to prove it works. And so now we have a reminder in 59 seconds or so. So if I go out of here completely, then in a minute or so's time, it will remind me to eat some cheese. The voice response, slight digression, on Windows Phone is wonderful. You saw it do that. You've probably used voice response on the phone before when it goes dup, 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 and goes online and brings things down. You don't have to do it for this. You give it a bunch of words it knows, and then it responds to them like that. No going online, no messing around, it just does it. You give it a vocabulary as part of your application's build, and you push it into the application, and it responds to those words alone. So I've given it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 as English words, and it just then responds to those. So I can set my alarms in those time ranges just from voice. And you can build grammars and do all kinds of good, interesting stuff with this. And the great thing for me is that it works with no network connection. There you go. And so now there we go. It's a reminder of cheese. I must eat some cheese. If I touch the reminder, I go back to my cheese time. And at that point, there can be all kinds of offers on discount cheese stores nearby and cheese dealers under railway arches giving cheese away for large amounts of money. The English have a cheese fixation. All of us. When we all watch Wallace and Gromit and that kind of stuff. That basically shows you how easy it is to build reminders and link them through to your application. If the user wants to, if there was a standard dismiss and the snooze dialogues, which the user can just use to either kill the thing completely. If they dismiss it, they don't hit your app. If they snooze it, it'll come back, and then when they hit it again, they can go into your app, whatever you like. So if there are situations where you want to build apps which have got reminder behaviors in them, it's easy to do that. And to do it from voice response, I mean, very quickly, although you're all going to come tomorrow to the presentation about this, I'm sure, because I have even more jokes, I hope. Sound of feverish network search. Yes. Okay. These are all the words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, all the way down. I could have done some cunning stuff with two string, probably, or something, to get the number list, but this is all done. And tomorrow I'll show you how you can actually use this technology to do things like have your phone respond to play Steely Dan to get some Steely Dan music played by it. So I've got a thing called voice music, which basically takes what you say and then plays that playlist. And it does it like this. It goes through your music collection, builds a whole bunch of words, and then fires it off. That's basically my entire presentation tomorrow in 35 seconds, which is kind of a bit stupid, really. But still come. It's worth it for the jokes and the free phone and all that kind of good stuff. So that's how it works. And so what you know now is just how easy it is to actually build background agents which respond to the voice or whatever you want and timing and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm hoping, really, that you're going, oh, I could put that in. Looks like it would be an evening's work to make my application suddenly different from the other guys. You start thinking in context in which you could do this kind of stuff, and it's really, really easy to do. So the final one we're going to do is audio playback, which is a background agent that plays your music for you. The mechanism is similar to the first agent type that we saw at the beginning in that you add a new project to your solution which will do the background audio playback for you. Okay? So the mechanism's the same. You bang this thing in. You could have a totally fully loaded app which did file transfers, audio playback, resource intensive, periodic whatever, all as one big lump. It would all just hang together. As far as we're concerned, a couple of things to bear in mind about this. The audio can be streamed from a web source somewhere, or you can hold it in a file in ISO store. There's a great big important point to make here. You can't make an audio playback agent like this, which will play the media on your phone. Okay? So if your users have downloaded lots of records and stuff on Xbox Music, then in that situation, fine, but your audio playback agent can't see those. Okay, so this is strictly for situations where you actually want to play your own stuff and have direct control of how it's presented and how it's played. Okay, that's important. If you want to actually play music in the music part of your phone, then you use the Media Player class, bring in the X and A classes, and go off and do that and get the songs out and build the playlist, and off you go. That's easy peasy. This is for situations where you want to build custom streamers, or you want to bring down things using your background transfer, whack them in ISO store, and then let the user play them. So this is for your podcast system. Okay? The podcast system has a periodic task that goes off and finds, oh, new podcasts, files of a background file transfer, brings that in. When that's in, the periodic one says, okay, change the tile, now you can hear it, and then this thing plays the music. That's how it works. That make sense? Okay, right, so this is lovely. So there you go. This is effectively a playlist which I made. And my little playlist just has on this particular one, I'm showing you both ways of doing it, an audio track called filename.mp3, kind of boring, tied to a URI, with the title, artist, album, and then a little link to the artwork, JPEG image. So if you have a file in ISO store, that's how you connect to it. You give it the file name and all these bits and pieces. If you're pulling things down from a URI, then you basically just put the URI in, MP3 on the end, and then you give it the same properties, title, artist, album, and artwork. The everything sound, funny story, well, probably not. Years ago, I was messing around with a thing called Audacity to make some sound effects for a game, and I had about 20 tracks of sound effects all arranged in Audacity in a pile, and I pressed the button saying, save this track to a file, but it saved all of them. So rather than having this nice, simple ping, I had this incredible noise, which I call the everything sound. It's all of my sound effects being played at once, and I was so proud of this. It's just, it's got to give you a measure of what my life is like, okay? I was so proud of this mistake that I thought, this must live on the internet somewhere. So I slapped it up on that URL, and it might be my next ringtone. But I'll let you, I mean, one thing you can be sure of, when you hear it, okay, you'll have heard it. And it's unique in the world, because some of the best programs and things happen by accident. The way things work in terms of your connecting to the playback agent, basically I go off and get my background audio player, find the instance of it and call the play method. And that actually, this is my foreground, this is my foreground player. And that's going to basically link through to my background play object, and the agent there gets the messages to start and stop the playback. So I can add my play and stop buttons if I want to control the playback from within my own app. Or the user can use the play and stop buttons and track skipping ones, which are a standard Windows Phone fittings. Okay, so you can do it either way, or from your app or from the usual place. And this, as befits a grand finale, we have a really impressive slide transition there, just to seal the deal. So stand well back, folks. I don't know whether I think the audio's turned on. There is one interesting gotcha with this particular. Here's my main page with my play button, which is going to actually effectively just call through into the audio play. If I hit the play button, I'll show you the code behind there. Then I've got a breakpoint on there, but I'll get rid of that for now. So I just go in there and do the play thing, and I have a behavior for pause, which causes it to pause, and that indenting is wrong and it offends me. So I'm just going to put that right, because otherwise I won't sleep tonight. There you go. So that's better. That's nice. I'm happy now. If you go through and look at the, maybe that's just me then. Okay, fair enough. If you go and look at the audio player, then in here we have, that's my playlist. There's my Rob Miles Everything Sound. And there's my image. And then the interesting bit for me is when the play state changes, we get an event fired, which our code can then respond to. So if we get track ended, then we're going to get previous track, it looks like, on this. If we get the track radio event, then we can go play. And effectively, this is the connection. And there's all kinds of other things you can respond to should you wish to do that. And this is the code. I've only put these two in because these are the two that I need. And so now if I run this program up inside the emulator, then it might work. And the reason I'm saying might is there is a kind of gotcha which I have observed here. At the moment, I've got my emulator running on the machine, which is hanging off a Wi-Fi connection. And this seems to work fine. But I was testing it in the hotel this morning on a wired connection, and it seemed that for some reason the proxying for the audio did not work too well. So if you're playing with this at home, getting your sounds to play through the emulator, then there is a chance that if you don't get it to go, you might want to try using the other networking connection technique. When a Windows Phone emulator connects to a PC, it does it by making extra network ports and binding to them. And this kind of this can have an upsetting effect in my experience. And if I hit the play button, then there you go, that's the sound. And it's amazing. It goes on for a while. And you see, you want that as a ringtone now, don't you? You're going to go on my thing, and that's going to be your ringtone. In fact, we could like a secret code. We could sort of go and go, ha-ha-ha, and play that. So that's being pulled off the web and played through my background agent off the MP3. So all I did to put that podcast up there, if you like, was just slap the file in my file store on robmiles.com file space. And everything else just came out in the wash. And so if you want to, you basically can just rack up your playlists in here and run. Oh, that's it. I've heard enough. You can stop now. I have no need of you. Boink. Bit cruel, but nice. Cruel but reasonable, I thought. So that's effectively how you would get background audio playback and control it and manage it and do all kinds of good stuff like that. So, where are we in the presentation? Well, so, a review. Application can create background processes. We've effectively got, if you want to do just process data, fetch stuff, do useful things, but no UI, no camera, no sensors, no dodgy stuff, then you can fire off periodic and resource-intensive tasks. And these will run when your application is not active. Bear in mind, again, though, the user can kill these off and manage them, and the phone itself will kill these off if it has to. So these things will go, and they're a wonderful place to put icing and behaviors that the other guy's application has not got. And like I said, you can use them in games as well as anything you fancy. We can also create scheduled notifications, which will fire whether the application is running or not, and we can also fire off these background file transfers that will go off and fetch data. If you want to save data from your background agents, then you use the ISO store. So you write files. So your background agents can do housekeeping or fetch data or update databases. If you have a big tidy up of your database or whatever you want to do, then run it all as a background agent. That will work absolutely fine. We can debug these things in Visual Studio in the same way that we debug every other kind of application. And we can arrange things so that the actual agents fire at regular intervals, a minute or so we can test them, and it all just works. So a little bit of plug of where we are now. We just finished Tuesday, so effectively this slide, I've heard that one's really good. Oh-ho-ho. Tomorrow we have even more of good stuff. And again, the one to bear in mind, which you must all come to, and play your ringtone. What we could do is all come in here and play that noise at the same time and try and freak out everybody else that wasn't here today. That would be so cool. Or maybe not. But that's me again at 3:15, and I'll cover how you can add speech so you can give your applications another USP, if you will. But there's lots of other good stuff going on. I'm going to be downstairs on the booth tomorrow morning and Thursday morning, telling jokes, juggling, and doing... I can't actually juggle, but if I could, I would do. So you're going to chat with me there, and then there's stuff on Thursday as well. It's all in the guide also. We have a whole bunch of hands-on labs, including one on voice command, and the one on tracker, which I think is a background agent one as well. The one you want to look at from the point of view of giving your background agents a way of telling people what's happening is the tiles one. So I did pop-up notifications. That was fine. That works very well. If you want to look at how you can actually get the thing right in their face, if they've pinned you to the start menu, that's great, then go to that one, take a look. That's a good one to look at. That'll link that round rather nicely as well. There's the booth. They've got loads of lovely, shiny, new Lumias, which are very, very nice, and some other bits and pieces as well. All your Windows phones, it's myself and Andy Wrigley know everything about Windows Phone that is to know. Okay, Andy and I know everything. And so if someone asks me a question I don't answer, I just go, Andy knows that one. No? Okay, right, fine. Moving on. We've got presentations on the theater. I'll be doing another one of my Wave the Arms and Shout presentation, how to make stuff for Windows Phone, which is a riot and a half. So do come along and say hello. We've also got some promotions. If you wear a hat with Windows Phone on it, you could win a Windows Phone. And we've got breakout sessions with prizes and Windows Phone hoodies if you get a demo and all that kind of good stuff now. Resources, yep, got lots of those. Windowsphone.com/business. I haven't put robmiles.com up there, but you're going to go there anyway. or not, and see what's what. And finally, we've got stuff on Channel 9 and some beautifully animated slides as well. So these are all on the deck, so feel free to follow through on them and watch the jump start and practice everything else that we tell you. If you complete an evaluation on ComNet, you could win a tag with Best Buy written on it. Okay, that would be good. Yeah, so please do that. Please fill in the evals. We need to know what you think. And so if I leave this QR code up there, I'm hoping it's my session, or maybe I'm not. But anyway, please fill the evaluation in, and you could win a prize. I'm not quite sure what the prize is, but you could definitely win it. And that would be good, because prizes are always good. And so, yeah, take the picture of that one. I think that's the last slide on the deck. Let's have a look. Yeah, you know, that one's much more interesting. So, okay, right. That's pretty much, I'm going to give you a few minutes of your life back. But before we do that, any questions? You can. The question is, do we support secure source authentication? The answer is, it'll go to SS. It'll use secure SSH, but I don't think there's any authentication. There's no like OAuth or whatever on that, I'm afraid. No, you basically you fire it up and you pull it down, and there's no authentication step that you can add, I don't think. Yeah, I'll double check that, and I'll put a blog post. There might be some properties you can put on the file transfer to set that. Oh, see, Andy does know the other stuff. Yeah, okay, so thank you. But, yeah. does that help? A little bit. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? How? Sorry, yeah. Well, the process by which you fire it off. The question is about renewing agents every few weeks or so. The process by which you fire it off is the one I showed you where the application runs and says what it is. That's what I mean by the renewing process. You have to actually do that. So if I don't use your app for a couple of weeks and they don't touch any of your live tiles, then that means that your background agents will then disappear as well. When they start your application off again in a month's time, say, you can check to see if your agents are still out there, and if not, fire them up again. Yes, that's right. It's basically, the philosophy is that if they haven't touched it for a fortnight, there's there's no point in wasting time running this thing because they're obviously not bothered. But if they go back to your app after a month, then you are, of course, able to fire them up again and it all starts again. You would have to build that as a periodic agent, which then goes on and off and pulls whatever service you're getting from the web and put it onto a tile or whatever. You can build that. It's not hard to build, but that's effectively what you would do, if that makes sense. Any other questions? Sorry, yeah. Okay. You should blog that and send me the link, and we'll push it out because that's kind of useful. I didn't know that. That's useful to know. Thank you. Send the link to robmiles.com, and I'll link you through from my blog and make you famous overnight. No pressure. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Do we have a prize to give away? Do we have some things to pick from?
We have a phone, so if anyone
I normally try and take a picture of my audience, but I can't see you. But get your cards in. Someone has. I take it this is the phone, is it? So not, this is the 920 is a lovely phone. It's a glorious phone. If it isn't this one, I'm in trouble. I have to give you mine otherwise. That's a bit of Vegas shuffling action there.
All right, pick a card, any card.
Pick a card, any card. I'll pick that one there. Okay. Noam Beerwilder?
You got it.
You are such a winner. There you go, sir. Enjoy. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you, that's it. You may now go and get the free food.